This is Britton LaRue, and you're listening to Moon to Moon, which is a podcast where we talk about process and cycles and working with the cycles of astrology and the cycles of the moon in order to live more fully, in order to be with ourselves more honestly and more in authenticity and in more pleasure. And I basically just share how what I know about the tarot and what I know about astrology and what I know about the lunar cycles and energy healing are helping me to work through my own self-healing processes. And then I talk about how you can too. So in this episode, I talk a lot about what it means to be basically bathing in so much Cancer this summer and have two new moon lunar cycles in Cancer, and how really, really understanding what Cancer is trying to teach us can help us fully come into our Leo. Fully be that star, that radiant star that we all want to feel like. And so I talk a lot about the natures of the energies and how they might be showing up for you. I share a lot about my own process in this one. So I do that because I found that my process is often the same thing that other people are going through. And so in sharing how I work with it, I can hopefully give people some nuggets of advice for how to work with it in their own lives. And I give a tarot reading in this episode about Cancer and Leo, which I think is pretty rich. And so if you love the tarot, I think you'll love it. And if you don't know anything about the tarot, know that I talk about the cards in ways that beginners can take as much as someone who's been with it a long time. So give it a shot if you've never listened to a tarot reading before. And finally, I talk about the full moon in Aquarius, which is August 3rd. And I think about and I give guidance for how to consider what you're harvesting now since January 24th when there was a new moon in Aquarius. And how to think about how Aquarius serves our Leo. And how to think about how Aquarius energy can be really, really, really helpful energy for all of us right now to kind of disrupt and bring fresh thought into where we're at. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope you'll reach out if you have any thoughts or questions. I hope you will give it a rating or review if you like what you hear. And I'm wishing you well. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. It's my pleasure. Cheers. It's Britton. It's August 2nd, 2020. And I am sitting down in northern Minnesota at my family's cabin on a lake in the woods that I've gone to my whole life. It's a cabin my grandfather built in the early 60s. So my mom grew up here too. It's my very special place where I reset my soul. And I feel very, very, very happy to be here. I'm staring at the lake. It's very windy, so I'm recording inside. I had hoped to record outside, but I think it would be too noisy. So I haven't made an episode in over a month. And I want to spend a little bit of time here at the beginning speaking to that. I'm not apologizing. I do this at my own pace, so there's nothing like inherently wrong about it. But I wanted to speak to kind of what I've been in the last month in case it resonates with your own experience. I would say that I have evolved and been moving through so much the last 5 weeks or so, definitely the last 8-9 weeks. But I would say that since the since July began, I have had a really hard time externalizing anything in my life. And I think now that I'm starting to kind of get my head up a little bit above it, and have some perspective, I feel that, you know, it's just been such a time for internal work. And every time that I would kind of have this feeling of like, I see what I'm learning and I really want to talk about it, I was like pulled into the next thing, and I couldn't make time to write about it or talk about it, because now I was like in a new thing that I needed to put my attention on while also just doing my work and teaching a class and being a mother and a partner and a human being in a pandemic, in a time of revolution. So, you know, it's just been a lot. And I have a lot of things that I would like to share that I've been moving through in my process, in case it's helpful to those of you that are listening. I'll be weaving in the astrology as I talk about stuff, but I'm only really just now able to say anything, with the caveat that, like, in even a few weeks, I may look back and be like, oh, wasn't that cute that I thought I could talk about it? And that's okay. I really try to model being imperfect in my life these days. I show up incomplete and imperfect to this podcast. I don't have a script. I embrace non-linearity, and I embrace not being an expert, and I embrace making mistakes. I've come to find over time that by letting go of the script and becoming more comfortable with the chaos of not exactly knowing what will come through for me if I want to start talking, I've been able to infuse my words and what I have to say with more presence and more authenticity and more of, I think, what you could call just myself. And so, believe me that it's not been easy to take that route in my work. I had to do a lot of healing in order to be able to show up just as myself. And it's a constant process, as I have been humbly learning, especially this last month. Let us not expect perfection, and like no mistakes from anyone. This doesn't mean we don't hold people accountable. This doesn't mean that we don't hope for good modeling from our teachers and from leaders. But in always holding our own power, we don't like give ourselves to others to be filled up. Does that make sense? So I think that for me with my teachers, I have many teachers, I've just really tried to let them still be human beings. And I can do that by focusing on holding my own power, right? Like, I don't have to worry about them and their standards if I hold my own power. It takes practice and it takes work. But I'm bringing that up because we've been seeing a lot of leaders kind of come being a little toxic lately, and like spiritual leaders have shown themselves to have not been responsible with their leadership. And I just want to bring up how important I think it is that don't ever trust so much in me that you're letting me fill you up, right? And like, I don't want to have that responsibility either. I would like to just trust in this idea that like, I've learned a few things, and it's makes me feel good to share them. And ultimately how my language lands on other people is none of my business, because it's your business, the person that's listening, right? And you don't need to hook into me to find your own power and your own truth. So, okay, let me share some things then. So, as you're probably very well aware, we had three eclipses this summer, the beginning of June, the middle of June, actually on the day of the summer solstice when the sun moved into Cancer, and then again at the full moon in Capricorn, that was the night of the 4th of July. So that window really began late May at the new moon in Gemini, and then we officially say that it closed when we had our last new moon in Cancer, the second new moon in Cancer in the summer 2 weeks ago. So we're now in this like hangover period where we have some perspective and we're starting to understand what all we were learning, right? And I often find these periods to be the harder periods, because when I'm in it, I don't really see it as much. And then as I start to get perspective on things, I kind of have those moments in the movie where the character suddenly realizes, like, oh my God, like, I was duped, or oh my God, you know. I've used this analogy probably here before, but like in The Sixth Sense when he realizes he's the dead person, you know, these moments where we're like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this, or oh my gosh, I've been giving my power away in this way, and oh my gosh, I'm XYZ in relationships and I had no idea, you know? And now you see this stuff. So it's sort of like in this period now, you're in the whoa, you know, like in the language of alchemy, we would call that like in the shit period, in the negredo, the black, like just in the kind of like, oh, it's so uncomfortable, you know, just like, oh, you know, it doesn't feel good. The super discomfort is that period. And then we move through these periods afterward where we begin to let it burns off is the idea. Like if you imagine yourself to be in a crucible, you know, you're in this crucible and you're getting cooked. And at the beginning, it's like, ah, you know, it's not fun. But then as things start to burn away, you begin to sense a kind of lightness that's coming in and some understanding. You begin to like get some better perspective and you start to see yourself again. And you start to slowly begin to see like, I am going to be better because I just moved through that. Whoa, you know, and you have to trust that that's coming is the thing. It's like sometimes, or I used to, when I'd be in a kind of negretto period, just like run to the hills, like terrified, like I can't deal with this feeling, like escape, 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 you know, eject, 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 get me out of here. But now I kind of know to just kind of sit in it and just like, you know, like almost like you're in a sauna and you're just like, I got to get out of here. But then some part of you is like, no, you sit, because this is good for you. You need this. So, you know, you just kind of like let it go and just feel yourself releasing toxins, basically. And then you start to see who you're becoming now. You start to see yourself becoming a new state. And then beyond that, you can imagine talking about it, writing about it, then even teaching about it and helping other people be with themselves through those states. So trusting in the alchemy of your own transformation through hard times is something that I really do believe in. And that's a lot of what I think of with moon work, especially moon work that involves eclipses, that every single lunar cycle, this can be happening at like a micro level. And then we have these periods that are bigger, they're more major. And the more you practice kind of micro transforming, the more you're familiar with like, oh, I know what's happening, and I'm just gonna wait it out and it's gonna pass. You know, it's cycles. Because that's primarily what my intention is to do with this podcast, is just talk about process and cycles. A huge thing that has been coming up then, and it was really starting to come up all through June, and, you know, I've been doing anti-racism work for several years, but, you know, to the call of the collective, I jumped back into it, found new teachers, new language. I really found it all extremely exciting, and I just went with the group, you know, to join in with more learning. And some of the teachings that really came forward for me, because I'll be learning it from it for the rest of my life. You know, the goal is always like, what can I magnetize to me right now that I most need, you know, because I can't like completely do all of this learning this month. You know, we have to realize that with anti-racism work, that it's a lifelong process of getting better. One of the huge things that came forward was recognizing the way urgency runs in my nervous system as a byproduct of the culture that we've been living in, the white supremacist, capitalist, patriarchal society that we live in. And it runs in all of our systems, this urgency, like this idea of urgency, that like we have to get these things done, that we got to get there, that we're going to be late, that we're going to miss something, that we're going to lose our window, that we got to close in on it, that we got to seize the opportunity. All of this like framing of how to win, you know, how to compete and how to succeed, or what, or you're going to fill in the blank, scarcity fear. All of that is really hard on the body, right? It's like, once you start paying attention to how urgency works in your body, it's hard to see, because it's pretty gross, you know? And like, then realizing the next part of that is how your own urgency, I'm saying you, but I mean, I'm talking about it from the basis of me doing my own work here and presuming that we're all dealing with this, really, or we will deal with it when the timing is right for us. Sooner the better, though. It's so hard to see, like, the urgency, say, in my daughter, who is mirroring my own anxiety, you know, that she's carrying in her nervous system. And I know a lot of mine came from my mom, and she can't blame her for it. It's come from everything. It's all around us, you know. This is like, it's like frantic urgency, which of course is, I think, it's way easier right now to inflict our urgency on other people in harmful ways because of the technologies of communication that are immediate. And so, like, when you get a notification and you get a text or an email from someone that's frantic and urgent, it has a serious impact on our bodies and our psyches, and it brings up trauma from growing up, and it brings up all kinds of things to our inner child, the part of us that, you know, in childhood did not appreciate being rushed, did not appreciate the frantic run to the car to get to school, or whatever. Get here now, you know, that it's so deep, you know, it's so deep in us because it's been handed. It's not just the impact on our own lives, but it's been handed to us through our lineage, the impacts of just one single aspect of our culture, which is urgent, the harmful effects of urgency. So that was a big thing that I was working on. So thus, I've been really trying to just do what I do when I'm working on self-healing, which is I just focus on noticing. So something that I teach, something that I talk about a lot, is just the word noticing. And I've been learning this from the people that I study who talk about how to work with trauma or PTSD of any amount, that the beginnings of healing just have to do with coming back to the body and noticing. So the willingness to just commit to noticing when you're being urgent is the beginning of healing the auto response of being urgent, right? So I'm just throwing that out there in case you're like, yeah, I would really like to work on that too. And so thus, I've been trying to just be way slower with my work and like really noticing like how I can't go to sleep, you know, worrying about how clients hate me because they haven't gotten their reading yet, or how I'm sure I'm making everyone angry. Like I feel this just insecurity of like being a failure because I'm loosening my my internal deadlines with people and with myself. Just like, yeah, I'm just gonna try not being urgent about that, you know, just see what happens. And of course, because I'm new at this and I'm training, it's really uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable. Like I'm having to do so much work to have compassion with myself, to be patient with myself, to just touch base with like, I see how insecure you're feeling. You can do this. You don't have to like drop everything constantly to meet these urgencies. Most of my urgencies are self-created. You know, they're self-created. So it's like, whoa, like these addictive patterns to urgency are just like, when should this stop? I'm thinking now. Like, I'm thinking now is the time, which is my new attitude in the last few years of just, I used to always kind of think I'll do that later. And it's just like, no, I think this is showing up to be dealt with now, you know? And I'm sure that over the years, I will continue to have like whole new awakenings about urgency that I wasn't even seeing today, you know? Because it's like, this is how this works. Moon to moon, we're just constantly in process. And it's something that I trust and that I hope that if you're listening, you will trust, or that you do trust, because you really do feel better over time, the more that you commit to the cyclical process of healing and transformation that really just centers noticing where you're at in present time. That's just the name of the game, just being with your body, being with the present moment, honoring your feelings, letting all feelings be okay, you know? So when I'm doing this, it's like I can't be berating myself for feeling insecure about how other people will feel about me being less urgent, because if I'm berating myself, that's just not going to help, you know? That's just going to keep this pattern of this hardcoreness that is so hard on the psyche and the person. So it's like, it's not about not showing up. It's not about abandoning responsibilities. It's like reframing everything so that it comes from myself as opposed to this external operating system that has been internalized by my body around urgency and how if you're not urgent, you're going to lose. If you're not urgent, you're going to fail. If you're not urgent, you're not going to make anything of yourself. Because that is ultimately, you know, anti-pleasure, anti-joy, anti-play, anti-rest, anti-love. And I don't want to be that. I want to be for those things and meet my responsibilities and integrity. But I can't just like snap my fingers and that happens. It's a process of continually being present to what's here. And like, I hadn't been so aware of my urgency until now. And I don't want to inflict harm on anyone's nervous system because I'm urgent. Not for my daughters, not for my collaborator, not for my partner, not for the checkout person at the grocery store. Like, I don't want anyone having harm because I haven't dealt with my urgency, you know? So I've been doing it, and I will continue to cycle through doing it for many years, I imagine, if not forever. And a lot of this was coming up for me because I had done a video and I created a tarot spread on healing the inner Karen in response to the power of this like naming of Karens, like white women who are urgent, you know, in our culture, the videos of Karens flipping out at people in stores and just how I see that relating to Mars and Aries, which I talked about in my last episode. So I send you there for more on that. My own inner work with urgency really came from that. So I have an Instagram post about it and a link in my Instagram to the video I made about healing the inner Karen, if you would like to learn more about that. But I mean, I couldn't even collate that into a podcast episode back then. This was early July because I started to like cycle into other layers of things I was working on. And I just couldn't create the energy to block out a container of time to talk about it here. And now that feels like a really, really long time ago. But I'm still honoring and recognizing urgency. I've just begun working on other things. So I'm going to slip into that now. So at the second new moon in Cancer 2 weeks ago, I really did a lot of contemplating, and I did some dark moon rituals to connect with some ancestral healing I wanted to do around Cancerian themes, meaning in the sense of Cancer holding stories of the past and stories of lineage. I was really keen to think and contemplate about how what it means to have a second new moon in Cancer and what it means to like prolong our gateway to the new moon in Leo and like how we have to kind of like wait for Leo this cycle. Because the last several months, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months, the new moon has been at the beginning of the sun season in a sign. So it's like very early on, the sun enters the sign and then voila, there's the new moon. And we're talking about the new moon in that sign. And we like fully enter that sign. But now that we've had two moons and new moons in Cancer in a row at the beginning of Cancer and at the end of Cancer, now we're going to be in a series of months where we're having to wait for the new moon. And we have to we don't get to it until the very end of that cycle. So I really wanted to think about what it means to A, have a new moon in Cancer again, like the universe saying, did you learn? did you get it? Like, I just want to make sure, because that was like finishing out the Cancer Capricorn eclipses of the last few years. Like, did you understand what you were learning? Because we're going to give you one more chance. And also, two, B, I wanted to think about the bridge space between Cancer and Leo and how to like bathe myself in the medicine of what that is. That's part of what I want to talk about. Just like, well, I haven't really thought that much about that, and I want to get clear, you know? Because when you're learning astrology, you have to understand up front that there's no way to be someone who knows everything about astrology. There's like no way. So you can just relax knowing you're just going to be learning it one bit at a time, moon to moon. So I really hadn't thought that much about the bridge between Cancer and Leo. So it's really fun for me when I step into these little openings where I can think about and contemplate and embody something that I haven't yet. And that's basically always happening because astrology is so rich with material to study and to think about. So at the beginning of the new moon in Cancer, then I created a newsletter for my community. And if you would like to join that, all you have to do is go to my website, and it's pretty obvious how to join. And I shared some of my thoughts and I asked these questions to, you know, help you, help anyone really sink into what am I learning this cycle? Like, how can I really show up for the second new moon in Cancer and like bathe myself in Cancer to Leo? Because my overall goal is like when that new moon in Leo hits, I just want to really feel like I have sucked the marrow out of Cancer, you know? So what am I learning about the self-care patterns of my lineage was one of my questions. Maybe that's coming up for you. Definitely for me. I've been doing a lot of work on the lineage pattern in my family of fear of overwhelm and the avoidance of engaging with the world for fear that it will be overwhelming. And I know on the outside, I may seem like someone who does so many things, so surely I don't have that, but the fear of overwhelm is like a foundational thing in my life. Foundation, Cancer, past lineage. So I've been doing some work on that, but your self-care patterns and your lineage may be showing up in a different way. I also have a self-care pattern in my lineage of self-caring with over-drinking. I mean, it may not sound like self-care, but when you don't know how else to caretake yourself, drinking can feel like a really great way, you know? So working on things like how to just be with in compassion for that being so much in my family story and seeing myself in that story and also seeing how I'm healing it for myself and how I, you know, I want to be that ancestor that says that I'm going to work on this, guys, you know, to my family. What am I learning about the stories of my younger self? How the stories of my younger self are ready to be recycled? That may be something coming up for you. I'm really seeing like strands that I can weave together of old parts of self that I'm not anymore. I'm not married anymore. I'm not someone who has kind of what felt like unlimited funds at her disposal to do something. I'm not somebody who is getting a PhD anymore. I don't live in France anymore. I don't live in Hawaii anymore. I don't actively study anime. I don't actively study post-war American visual culture, specifically that which addressed the atomic bomb Like, I have these different chapters of my life and they're not me anymore. But I still want to be in connection to what I learned from them and what they brought me. So I can consider them tools. That doesn't mean I regret that I'm not that person anymore or that I'm apologizing for not being that person anymore. But I was those things, and because I believe that I'm always still my younger self, I still am all those things. So that's been coming up a lot for me. So I had that as a question for people to think about, is recycling your younger self into the present moment. It helps you feel more full when you do that. You feel more like whole and full when you just like bring that person back to yourself now. So that might be something you'd enjoy. What am I learning about how shame and self-judgment haven't served my family or my psyche? That's a huge one. Huge. Not helpful. Like, we think we're doing something, but we're not. It just perpetuates. What am I learning about the ways in which the overculture has infected my nervous system with competition, self-flagellation, urgency, perfection narratives, the drive to be an expert, imposter syndrome, and scarcity fear? So that's kind of what I was talking about before. And now witness, how would it feel to let go of these patterns, these limiting beliefs and automatic responses? What might come through for me in the space that letting go opens up? How might my inner child then help me to rebirth my heart? Leo is the heart. How might the healing there help me to remember my inner starlight and luminosity? Leo. How might the bright light of my radiant heart come to trust that every single one of us can be as bright as I want to be without it being a threat to my light, like the countless stars in the galaxy? So those are some things now that here at the full moon, we're kind of like witnessing where we've come with those questions in this journey. And it continues on. It's not just this 4-week cycle that we're in this. At the full moon in Cancer in Capricorn season, which will be sometime from early 20s of December to early 20s of January, we will have a full moon in Cancer, and at that time, hopefully, we'll really be feeling how far we have been coming in working on that. So I'm really feeling that into that now. I've come to see that as I've been bathing in Cancer to Leo, how much Cancer can speak to where we have an inner child that is tender and has wounds and maybe experienced severed belonging. And then Leo speaks to our bright, shiny, starry, playful, divine inner child that wants to play and be luminous with no limits on joy and no limits on love and no limits on warmth and radiance. So it's such a crucial bridge, because it's like the more we free up space for our Leo by doing some beautiful work in Cancer season to heal, the more the inner child within us can play in when we get to Leo fully. And so I feel like this whole cycle we're in right now is really a deep invitation to look at our insecurities, our wounds, our neediness, as we try to seek belonging and validation. Those are big Cancer themes. And the more we dig into that healing, the more like we reap the benefits of the Leo. Leo, which is the archetype of the king, queen. Leo, which is the archetype of the performer. Leo is the lion, and Leo is the bright, shiny inner child. So for my part, I have had some radical realizations and aha moments. A lot of this came because I taught a class and I was plagued by worry after this class, that I wasn't appreciated or loved, or like that it didn't land in a way that dazzled people. And because I'm committed to noticing, I was noticing that it was just really weighing on me. Like, did they like it? Was I any good? Did they think I was great? Will they have me back? Did I fail? I must have failed. Yep. Like reviewing like every little part of my talk. Like, yeah, I could have been better there. Yep. Yep. Missed that opportunity. And just like kind of ripped myself to shreds. And I just kept noticing how I was doing this and noticing it was showing up in my dream worlds. And finally, I just thought, I've got to do some deeper energetic looking at what's going on here. So I reached out to my friend, Natasha Levenger of Highest Light Healing, who's one of the people I turn to for energetic help. Like when I just can't see it myself. And she immediately helped me see that I have a pattern since childhood, really young, of not being certain that I'm properly validated or safe, and doing a very Piscean thing, which is to kind of like send my energetic feelers out and plug into the other person in order to figure out or confirm where I stand with them. But the information that I might glean from them is always unhelpful, because it's inherently not neutral. It's based in my need to confirm where I stand with someone, which has put me again and again through my life in precarious situations where I'm completely vulnerable to external validation. And a lot, you know, some of this is in my chart. I mean, it's all in my chart actually, but we can know our chart, but still not be able to like really get at some of the energetic roots and origins of the issues sometimes without doing the actual healing work of it, right? Like it's one thing to know your chart intellectually or at an abstract or conceptual level, but then there are ways that we have to like get inside of the energy in order to change its charge, ideally to decharge things and neutralize them. So I'm now in this commitment with myself to noticing when I'm hooking in to anything to confirm where I am with them, you know? And was totally in my blind spot, you know? No wonder it's just so exhausting sometimes to be out in the world. No wonder I have a pattern of fear that I'm going to be overwhelmed, because it's so exhausting to be taking on all that information from the outside world and being dependent on that information for how I feel about myself and how I feel about my safety and security. So, big stuff there for me. I'm super pumped. I'm really excited, because I think that as I work on this more myself, and then I'll continue to check in with Natasha now and then, I think it's going to really free up a lot of energy for me and continue to help me get better and better at sourcing myself for self-validation, which is like what you want from your Cancer, is that you are in the deep, deep, deep connection with yourself for your self-love and for your self-care. And you are your own best inner mother and inner father. So, hooray. I'm just so hoping that you too feel that you have been having some beautiful aha moments. So what I'd like to do now is share the tarot reading that I have for us on the bridge space between Cancer and Leo. And I think that you will find some yummy nuggets here. So this is an 11 card reading, and I'll tell you the placement questions as we go. So the card that came forward as the key card for working with Cancer to Leo, which is working with the tender inner child to the luminous inner child. And thus, I was also asking for wisdom about working with the inner critic and maturing and evolving the inner parent. What came forward first as the card of the reading was Two of Cups. And if you don't know anything about the tarot, don't even worry about it, because I'm going to be focusing on the meanings here. So to me, this is a card that speaks first and foremost to being in radical self-love with the parts of yourself that you find unlovable. And I also think that it does have to do with relationships as well, because we learn so much about how we're doing with our own self-love by being in any kinds of relationships. I don't mean just romantic. Through being with other people, we know how we're doing with ourselves, because the truth just dribbles forward. And so it is a card about self-care and self-love to me, but it's it also has an externally relational component, because it is through how we operate with other people and other humans that we can get a gauge for where the work is in the self-care angle. So to me, this card feels really perfect, because, you know, what we want to feel is that with our inner self, our inner child, our inner teenager, our inner everything, we are in deep care, you know, and listening and compassion and love. And what we also want to feel is that in our friendships, in our romantic relationships, in our collegial relationships, in our familial relationships, everything feels flowing and easy and deep and authentic and compassionate and validating, right? And they're deeply, deeply mirroring, you know? This is a mirroring card. And so I feel that this feels really good as a key card around moving through this cycle and feeling ourselves at this full moon in this work of self-love for love, right? Like, self-love leads to love everywhere. It's really, we have to untangle from narratives around self-care being selfish before we can do that. The contributing card to that I got is Four of Pentacles. And in this case, what it felt like for me was doing some work around boundaries, both noticing where we might be hypervigilant with other people because we're afraid of really letting in authentic compassion and heart listening. We may be canceling people so that we don't have to deal with things in ourselves. We may be fragmenting off parts of self that we think are shameful, and thus we're not in our whole self. We're not in radical self-love if we're doing that. We may be learning about how we hook into other people to get validation from them. And that requires some better boundaries. So to me, in this case of Four of Pentacles, it means like caretaking the nature of our boundaries. Are they hard? Are they soft? Are they totally not existent? Like, what are those boundaries? The boundaries are essential around the self, to the work of self-love and love between people. And Cancer, as I talked about so much over Cancer season, like, one of the huge things that we do to actively embody Cancer at a high skill level is to work on our boundaries. The medicine that came through as the teacher card for Cancer to Leo bridging is Eight of Wands, which is a card that has to do with process. We don't know where we're landing here. Like, don't know what's ahead. We are just on course. You know, we're in a path and we don't know what's next. And this is, I think we can safely say, for everyone right now. And the medicine of Eight of Wands is like, trust you will land where you're gonna land, and that it will be great. The more you're trusting, the more you don't have to make moves out of fear of chaos, out of scarcity, out of panic, out of urgency. Trusting in flight. Trusting in the buoyancy of air to carry you, and whatever the forces are that are making that happen, the forces that are carrying you know better than you do where you're going to land. And I know that's a hard one, but whenever I trust in Eight of Wands, it always works out. Which I would say for every card. The root of what's going on right now is Eight of Cups, which speaks to we're just walking into the unknown here. Again, another unknown card, trusting in the unknown. Like, old ways of being, we loved them. They were great. Doesn't mean they were wrong. Doesn't mean we should be ashamed. Eight of Wands is a real wise card. It's like a real wise place to be when you can realize, like, that has run its course. That way of being, that relationship, that place I lived, that job, that framing belief about how the world works, that operating mechanism that was in my nervous system, that way of engaging with other people's energies to get validation. Like, oh, sweetie, you needed that. And it was great for a lot of it. Like, it wasn't all bad. Lots of beautiful things we walk away from. And doesn't mean that we shouldn't. We just come to know when it's run its course. And Eight of Cups has Moon in a prominent position, indicating trusting in one's intuition, trusting in walking an unknown path, trusting that you will know which foot, how to place the foot, because you have an inner guide, which is your intuition. We've recently been moving through Six of Swords, which is, a journey into unknown waters. Like, we don't know where the shore is. So a lot of medicine in this reading around Cancer to Leo, getting into our radiant joy is not necessarily like a easy, ticket, can't go on Expedia and like book a ticket from wounded to radiant and do it like in one day. So like, we're on a journey. We need our support systems. Sometimes we're the ones supporting other people. Sometimes other people are leaning on us. We don't really know where we're going. Let's just trust in this idea of support and care, and that there is another side. There is another side we're getting to. We just don't really know what that looks like. we're moving into right now, Ten of Wands, which is like real call to up level one's energy patterns. It is like mastering our energy and our fire so that we can be not burnt out and depleted. And a lot of that has to do with facing what the patterns are that got us into overworking, or what the patterns were that got us into depletion, or what the patterns were that had us believing that the hard way is the best way or the only worthwhile way. The patterns that got us into like thinking that we can't ask for help because we're the expert, or we can't say we don't know, so we have to like use hypervigilance to protect ourselves so that other people don't realize that we don't know everything. That's not going to be a great plan. So, you know, really looking at how we hold ourselves and our energy and what we can like let go of, you know, like hand off to somebody else and hand off to spirit, hand off to the past. What can we free up? How can we free up energy through this healing work? Because Leo really wants to be shiny. What we're feeling right now is Five of Swords, which is like it hard. We're feeling like things aren't working. We're feeling potentially embarrassed or ashamed. We're feeling like we're in a situation that we don't like. We maybe have done some things that we wish we hadn't done. And it's this vibe of like, just go to the water and recover. Like, it's going to be okay. Whatever's been going on, it's going to pass. When you're in a five, you always move to the six eventually. But sometimes when you're in a five, you can't see it that. So we just get better at caretaking the fives and get better at going, oh, I'm in this five right now. I'm having a bad week. I'm having a bad day, but it's not going to last. I just need to like go to the water. I just need to go like splash water on my face and do the things that I do to like calm myself down and relax and like let the thing go. Like stop fighting. Stop fighting with yourself. Stop fighting with whoever. Just go to the river. Stepping into the world as Page of Wands right now, pausing to understand our fire, our energy, like what is the nature of like what we want to do anyway. So much of what's coming up right now in the world is like, if I'm not going to be like that person that I was, if those goals are now kind of dead to me, if the values that I previously had, I don't have anymore. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's pause a second. Who am I? How do I want to create? How do I want to give my energy to this world? Let's pause in this and bathe in it a little bit before we declare what our fire is about at the new moon in Leo, or at least try to. Hopes and fears. It's three cards left. We want to be Two of Swords, as in we want to have strong boundaries. We want to trust our intuition. We want to be mystical. We want to be the person that can go sit by the water of their own self and hear the deep messages from within and be that trusting, strong person. But that means we have to let go of a lot of narratives and let go of caring what other people think. And it means that we have to do more solo work and that we have to dive in order to gain that strength. And that can be a fear. You know, that can be like, well, who would I be if I didn't check in with other people to make sure I'm doing a great job with them. So for me, what this feels like is we say we want to own ourselves, but we're afraid to totally own ourselves. Because if we own ourselves completely, then we're also utterly responsible. We can't blame and we can't be a victim or we can't be a martyr. We just have to take responsibility. And we can't say that it was somebody's fault anymore. And we can't revel in the like drama of calling ourselves lost, to use one of my favorites from my life. So the medicine is to continue to keep going in, to keep going in for your truth. The overall macro energy is the sun. We're trying to meet ourselves at our light. We want to not care what people think. We want to show up like with our freak flag flying, unabashedly naked, riding our horse, you know, off into the sun. We want to do that. We're trying to trust in ourselves. We're trying to be okay with clarity, with visibility, with shine. But the sun can be hard. The sun can be hard because we have to notice how we place limits on our sun, which is our authentic self. So that's why we do the Cancer work, to find our sun, find that inner child to play with. And finally, the outcome card, like what this leads to, is the Devil, which is the card that is ruled by Capricorn. Capricorn was the last full moon in Capricorn was the eclipse of 4th of July. It's the polar sign to Cancer. This is really great. I love the Devil card because the Devil is about liberating ourselves from our shame and patterns of self-sabotage that keep us small. It's about liberating ourselves from our fears. And thus, I think that it speaks to like the liberating, revolutionary, very paradigm shifting energy that's available right now if we are willing to accept the invitation to be with ourselves compassionately and notice what's going on. So, I really feel like the Devil's here to speak to releasing ourselves from the stuff that was holding us back. And I find that really exciting and appropriate. The Devil will help us get to the sun in its fullness, right? And that's what the bridge between Cancer and Leo is really about. So I hope you enjoyed that. I want to finish by just speaking a tiny bit to the energy of this full moon and a little bit about Aquarius. So the new moon in Aquarius then was when we technically seeded, S-E-E-D-E-D, the thing that we wanted to grow for this full moon that we're at now, which is a really important time for harvesting because it's also the time on the wheel of the year between the solstices, the beginning of August, that we associate with the first of the harvest, the first of the grains. Like, oh my gosh, feasting, you know? Like, here it all is. All the things that we've been doing, all the work that we've been doing is here. So it's a really important full moon because it's about beginning to take what you seeded. So I invite you to think back to January 24th of 2020. That was the new moon in Aquarius. Think back to then. Aquarius is the sign that speaks in many ways to the hopes and dreams that we have for humanity and for the collective. It's about collective visioning and like How can we break with old stale ways that weren't working for us and bring in something new? And at that time, I actually did a really cool reading of the new moon for my newsletter community. And I quoted a piece of that reading, which I want to share with you now, because I want you to listen to this and think about how it resonates with the dichotomy between you at the end of January and you right now. No matter when you're listening to this, because you may be listening to this well after the full moon in Aquarius, and that's fine. You'll still get something from this. So at that time, I said, the initiation into Aquarius energy, which is about seeing the future, which is about calling in the new paradigm, which is about visioning a disruption in old stale ways of being and calling in something that hasn't been seen before by you or by the collective. This part of us is accessible only if we allow ourselves to be in a vulnerable place. The future that we're needing to access is deep within us, but we must have the courage to go looking for it. Okay, so the future is deep within you. We must have the courage to go looking for it. We must believe that going deep within is where we will actually find the map that we're looking for. So it's a time to set the intention around deep, deep, deep self-compassion, as much neutrality as possible with the material, a massive boatload of trust that it will be worth it for you. What are you not facing that you're hiding away? Therein is the wisdom and the vision. Therein is the empowerment that you are calling in. You just didn't realize it was hidden there. Go meet yourself. Go meet your hidden self, your repressed self in your underworld, and take care of that part of yourself. And invite that part of yourself forward and give it a chance to say something. What does it want to say, the part of you that's repressed? It's very likely that the voice of your repressed self will speak precisely to what you need to vision your future. This will be a long-awaited reunion. This will be a sacred marriage. This will be the missing piece. If we have the endurance and the courage and the bravado to trust in the exploration, because now is the time for visioning. Now is the time. It's like a new dawn astrologically right now. We have got to call this in. We need to summon everyone to be their most brave self right now. So that was what I shared in a recording that I sent to my newsletter then. And I called that email, "You Rogue Warrior, You Breaker of Stale Realities." And then I subtitled it, "The Long-Awaited Disruption." And let me say that this full moon is going to be happening with the Leo rising chart, which is what that means. And be patient with me if that's confusing. But what it means is that the sun in Leo will be in the 11th house that we usually associate with the 11th sign Aquarius, which has to do with hopes, dreams, groups, collective, constellating people together around what you want to see in the world. The sun in Leo, which will be there, and then its polar sign Aquarius will hold the moon in Aquarius for the full moon, and that will be in the house, the fifth house, which we normally associate with the fifth sign Leo, which has to do with our own unique personal play, creativity, romance, what we generate with our energy, what flows out of us. So there's kind of a reversal there, which is part of what a full moon is. It's because then the moon is in the sign opposite the sign the sun is in. So when we look at the full moon now, tonight, tomorrow, what we're looking at is the moon in the sign of Aquarius, but the light that's being reflected is the light of Leo. So there's a merging of those two energies, asking us to think about how we, as unique individuals, unique heartbeats, can shine out love and warmth and play and joy into the world to make the collective better, for a better collective vision, for calling into being what we want to see in the world, where the future begins now. And that's the name in my Leo workbook of for the ritual in Leo that I have for the full moon in Aquarius. So if you have that workbook, and you can order one if you don't, that ritual I call The Future Is Now. And in it, I speak about how if your energy lives in the past, you don't have your full capacity to create and play here now. If your energy lives in the future, you don't have your full capacity to feel joy and radiate now. The future is now. We cannot create in the past. We cannot create in the future. We can only create in the present moment. And then I provide like an activity or an exercise to do in meditation where you call your energy back from the past and call all of your energy back from the future. And you dilate open the present moment as much as you can, because it is here in which we create. It is here in which we create the future we want to see from here. Because if we're in the future, all we have is uncertainty, urgency, unknown. So I hope for those of you that have that, you enjoy it and you give it a shot. You, of course, can do it at any time of year. You don't have to do it at the full moon in Aquarius. But working with dilating the present moment has been very, very important for my own life. And I hope that in sharing that, it will help you also. Thank you for listening. I hope that you found some nuggets in here for support, for reflecting or contextualizing your own lived experience. I'm wishing you well as you move through the rest of this cycle towards that new moon in Leo. I hope when it comes, it feels like, you know, a true ripening into your authentic self. I hope you feel more radiant than you may have been feeling for a while. Thank you.